Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So let us commit our time together with the Lord in prayer. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word this evening, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, Lord, and open the eyes of our minds. And so, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So as we start this time together, the question perhaps for us all is, how has the year 2024 been for you? As for me and my household, most of you would know that 2024 was a little bit eventful. I started the year recovering from a total knee replacement, and the surgery went well. But I complicated my own recovery because I had an accidental fall and then sprained the operated knee. That was a bummer. That was a real bummer. And then this year, my wife and I celebrated our 30th anniversary, for which we are just so thankful to the Lord. And our eldest son, Stuart, committed himself to his dear wife, Joy, in the covenantal relationship of marriage in August, and we rejoiced with them. And looking back, Debbie and I realized that by God's grace, we had served some 19 years, coming on to 20 in full-time ministry. Time just flies when you're having fun, right? We had served 12 years as missionaries with SIM, and at the end of this year, in a few minutes, we would have served 7 with PSPC as one of your pastors. And by God's grace, through the loving generosity of God's people, as we look back this past 19 years, we realize we have never lacked. By God's grace, through the loving generosity of God's people, we had never lacked. God had provided always just enough, just in time, never too late. And as we think of God's grace, as we recall God's provision, we just marvel because indeed we are given the privilege to serve a good and able, faithful and loving God. A God who is so marvelously great and yet who condescends to involve himself in every little facet of our human lives when we have not deserved any of this. And so we are immensely grateful and we are immensely thankful. And that brings me to our first observation. What do people do when they are grateful? What do people do when they have received something they don't deserve? So straight off, we note, right, that we are not talking about wages or salary. Neither are we dealing with reaping a profit from investments or a business. Because wages or salary, or even a sales commission, is something you earn. It is basically a right, something that is worked for. And the process often follows a sort of a formula, right? You work X hours a week, you get paid Y dollars a month, or you sell a certain amount of product to meet a target, you get paid a certain percentage of sales as a commission. And if you do better than your peers, you might even get a bonus. This is a wage. This is profit. This is something earned. This is something deserved. This is something spelt out in a contract. But sometimes, surprisingly, a person receives something that he or she does not expect. So this is the final African story for the year. The day after we arrived in Egbe Village in Nigeria 19 years ago, word somehow got around and we were visited by a small group of elders from nearby local churches who gathered at our home. And they brought along literally a basket of vegetables, a crate of soft drinks, and a live chicken. I kid you not, it still had feathers, it was still alive. These were gifts that they brought to welcome us to their locality. And as they fellowshiped with us for a while, and then prayed with us, then they left. But when they left, they gave me a reminder. Dr. Chen, remember, keep all the bottles and the crate intact. I was staring at the guy. I was like, what are you talking about? So basically, this is the deal. The drinks are a gift. The bottles are not. He wants the bottles back because the bottles and the crate needs to be returned to get back the deposit from the store. But the gifts were the vegetables, the chicken, and the drink. It wasn't something we expected. It wasn't something that we had earned. In fact, we had just arrived that day, the previous day, in the village. It wasn't something that we deserved at all. So it wasn't a commission, it wasn't a wage, it wasn't profit. This was simply a welcome gift, for which we were immensely grateful. Question, what does someone do when he or she has received something they don't deserve? I think usually people are grateful and then they express thanks to the giver. And so you see, repeatedly, many of the saints in the Bible express thanks to the Lord. As early as the book of Leviticus, where the temple worship of God was formalized, we find that the offerings for thanksgiving were even prescribed. And you can find that in Leviticus chapter 7. And then there are numerous verses in the Psalms which express thanksgiving to the Lord, many of which are attributed to King David. Perhaps one of the more famous ones is Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Give thanks to the Lord. But biblical thanksgiving does not stop in the Old Testament. We find many more instances of thanksgiving in the New Testament, with a more familiar instance perhaps being Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and the exhortation, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A verse which we all learned early in our discipleship journey. And then you have the moving revelation scene when the 24 elders get off their thrones and fall on their faces, worshipping God, saying, we give thanks to you, O God, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Brothers and sisters, may I suggest that thanksgiving is indeed thoroughly biblical. Because all of the saints who had experienced God's goodness, all of God's children who have experienced God's ability, and all of God's chosen ones who have experienced God's love, all of them express heartfelt thanks, profound gratitude. Some maybe a little bit more eloquently than others, but thanksgiving is a repeated theme throughout the entire Bible. And for that reason alone, I think I'd like to encourage us to reflect on the year that has just passed. Well, soon to pass. And consider the many things God has done for us so that we may express our thanksgiving to him. Would we spend a bit of time to recall what are the many things God has done for us? You can take out your phone, you can write on the bulletin, journal it down, because if you are like me, if you don't journal it down, you will forget. What are the many things God has done for us? And I want to encourage us to continue this thought line. Keep it at the back of your mind. But I think time demands that I move on. Why is Thanksgiving so important in the Bible? Some might ask. Why is it so important? So let's consider the text which was just read for us. Where the psalmist sings, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Brothers and sisters, according to the psalmist, thanksgiving glorifies God. And it is even more significant if you remember that Psalm 69 actually began as a lament psalm. When the psalmist cries out to God because it seems like God's presence is nowhere to be found. And the psalmist feels like his life is simply falling apart. That was Psalm 69. But in the midst of his lament, all of a sudden the psalmist turns his eyes to the Lord. All of a sudden the psalmist turns to God and he begins to give thanks to God. And it seems that such thanksgiving pleases God more than sacrificing an ox or a bull. And at this point in time, some of us might be wondering, what in the world has Thanksgiving got to do with oxen or cows or bulls? Well, the reference to oxen or cows or even bulls has probably to do with the Old Testament sacrificial system. As we saw in our Hebrews sermon and Bible study series, and when we look back at Psalm 50, I think we find a clue. Because in Psalm 50, we find that God chides his people for being grudging and half-hearted in offering the various prescribed sacrifices. Why? Because in the first place, as the Lord himself put it, as he challenged his people, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. In other words, all of creation, from the beasts of the jungle to domesticated cattle and goats to the very earth itself, the very world we live in itself, all of these belong to the Lord anyway. And so when we bring sacrifices to God, it is not as if we are supplying some kind of need that God has. When we bring offerings to the Lord, it is not as if we were meeting some kind of need that the Lord requires from us. Why? Because all of creation belongs to him anyway. Instead, when we bring our offering to God, when we express thanksgiving to God, this puts us in a correct attitude as we remember that we are undeserving beneficiaries, not self-sufficient benefactors that we can give to God. Our perspective needs to be correct. Because whatever we do in everything that we participate in the worship service, in our lives even, we are undeserving beneficiaries. We have received God's grace. Bringing us to today's context, how does this look like? Because there are not too many oxen and cows walking around. Bringing us to today's context, I think God is reminding us that stocks and shares and bonds and any other form of investment or equity truly mean nothing very much to him because it all belongs to him anyway. All of this, all wealth belongs to God. See, my dear brothers and sisters, our tithes and our offerings are not necessary for God's well-being. Our tithes and our offerings are not necessary for God's survival. Whether we put in a dollar in the offering bag as a child or we give $1,000 as an adult, We give to God what is already His. Because all creation belongs to Him anyway. We are only stewards in His household. Our money, our possession, even our talents, even our time belong to Him. And as we bring our tithes and our offerings, these are simply our acts of worship. These are simply our acts of gratitude. These are simply our acts of faith in His future grace, because we are recognizing that as God has always provided for us, He will continue to be faithful. He will continue to provide. As God has blessed us in the past, God promises to continue to look after us. God continues to watch out for us. And so we give our offerings as an act of worship, in faith, not because God needs it, but because we ourselves are even further blessed as we do so. But what honors Him, what He is pleased with, is when we gratefully give our thanksgiving. What glorifies God is when we willingly and appreciatively give Him thanks for all He has done. Why? Because the same way that a giver of a gift has more honor than the recipient of a gift, benefactors are more honored than the beneficiary. And so when we offer thanksgiving to God, we acknowledge and display that God is the ultimate giver. When we offer thanksgiving to God, we acknowledge and display that we are always the receivers. When we are publicly grateful to God, we point to the world around us that He is higher than us and we are lower. He is King, we are subjects. When we thank God, we acknowledge Him as the ultimate source of our blessing and we glorify Him. But there is yet another way that thanksgiving glorifies God. The Hebrew word that is translated in the NIV of that same verse is translated glorify, is the Hebrew word gadol, which has the idea of to make great, which is why the ESV translates for us instead the word magnify. And so as we were reading Psalm 69, verse 30 goes, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. So let me try to help us to get this idea. There are two sorts of magnifying that I think we all learned in school. The first is what we learn is a microscope, right? So what do microscopes do? Microscopes make something small, something teeny, something that is perhaps invisible to the naked eye. And then it makes it look bigger. So here's a microscope picture of bacteria, something so small that a naked eye cannot see. But the magnifying that we encounter in Psalm 69 is not that of making something small look big. Instead, it is to make something big look as big as it truly is, and I am referring to a telescope. You see, a telescope takes something that is actually huge, but looks small or insignificant, perhaps because of distance. So if you take a look at the telescopic image of the planet Saturn, if you look from the surface of the Earth with the naked eye, if you can find Saturn, it is basically a small little pinprick of light in the night sky. Sometimes cannot even find it, right? But when you look through a telescope, you now see that the surface of the planet is actually very interesting with many features, including the beautiful rings. Can you see the point here? The telescope helps us to get a glimpse of things far away, such as the galaxy, which is impossible to do with our naked eye. And that is perhaps what thanksgiving does. When the psalmist says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving, he does not mean I will make a small g God look bigger than he really is. No, when the psalmist says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving, he means, I will make a great God begin to look as big and as amazing as he truly is. Why? Because the truth is, we sinful human beings have difficulty appreciating our good and able, faithful and loving God for who he truly is. As sinful human beings, we are easily attracted by so many other things around us, and we neglect God. Brothers and sisters, as children of the Most High God, may I suggest that you and I are called to be telescopes, magnifying God to be as good and as able and as faithful and as loving as he truly is, by giving him thanks for all he has done for us. Gratitude glorifies God by drawing attention to his marvelous goodness, his wonderful ability, his incredible love, his amazing grace. Especially since we ourselves are recipients of an even more amazing grace, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in conclusion, therefore, as the year 2024 draws to an end, I would like to give us an opportunity to reflect on God's marvelous goodness, his wonderful ability, God's incredible love, God's amazing grace. Let's take the time to note it down somewhere, to journal. Why? So that we can remember what God has done in our lives, so that on the occasions that we are feeling down or discouraged, we can remember to give thanks to the Lord for what he has done, so that we can magnify God, whether in the context of our family or friends, whether in the context of PSPC, maybe even in the wider circle of the world. You know, when individuals or families share thanksgiving testimonies of what God has done in their lives, that's what we heard just now earlier in our service through Samson and then through Fulun. This glorifies God. This reminds each one of us of God's marvelous goodness, his wonderful ability, his unfailing faithfulness, and his incredible love. Because at any one point in time, there's going to be some of us who are going through difficulty or trouble. And so when we serve as telescopes to magnify a great God, to be as good and able, faithful and loving as he really is, it then serves as encouragement for each one of us. And then we in turn glorify his name. Amen. So I'm going to be quiet for a moment. I'm going to just hush, so that we have time to prayerfully reflect on what God has done in this past year, in the years earlier, so that we can journal it, and so that we can begin to glorify him with thanksgiving. Amen.